Welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church in Sacramento, California. Each week, these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message, and that you'll share it with a friend. This morning, Pastor Terrell begins a new series entitled, Taking Control of Your Life. Part 1 of this new series explains how man is triune, made in the image of God, and addresses the need for Christians to know their makeup. Pastor John lays the foundation for how evil spirits will cleverly massage the body's 5 senses, which will end up triggering your emotions until your soul gives the demons permission to enter the body. It is important to remember that emotions have no intelligence, so don't let them rule you. If you can learn to control the 5 senses and guard these entrance points, you can destroy the works of the devil in your life. That is the point of this series, Taking Control of Your Life. This message is entitled Part 1, Man is Triune. Now, let's go to the sanctuary and join Pastor Terrell as he begins today's message.
Praise God and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church. And this is August the 19th, 2007. We've had a very wonderful song service here today, Testimony Time. And I will be speaking on a new series of preaching here. It's going to be called Taking Control of Your Life. Taking Control of Your Life. Today, the topic is Man is Triune. And this series is going to show us how to keep the demonic forces from manipulating us, from moving upon us, and spinning us out. Before we pray today, I'd like to speak to the people that are listening to me via the internet, and those that listen by CD and cassettes. We need your help. So many times, people get the impression that we are a very, very large church in Sacramento, and we're just rolling in money. We are not. We are very small. If you are listening to us and you are blessed, would you consider sending us a little love offering to keep our doors open and to keep us going here in Sacramento? It would be greatly appreciated. I also want to share something with you, and this came to me this morning, that we have a broadcast from heaven, and I want to share that with you. God has been speaking the last 2 or 3 years, and there's been judgments coming down in different parts of the world. And today, we have a hurricane that is going to come in. Actually, it's on Jamaica right now, going into the Gulf, Mexican Gulf, and they don't know where it's going to go. Up in Minnesota today, they have got 10 to 15 inches of rain. People are dying. There's flooding over there. In the southern part of the United States, we have a drought. It's just destroyed there. It's totally dry. India has been flooded out. Pakistan, Bangladesh. We have problems all over the world. China is having problems with flooding. God is simply saying this, I am broadcasting from heaven. Wake up. We need to repent. I'm not speaking just to this church. I'm speaking right now to the world. That what we need to do is to say, Father God, help us. Forgive us. And Lord, open the eyes of people that will hear the gospel we can preach. Another thing also that God has broadcast is this. Our economy is hanging like this in America right now. The economy is so fragile that the Federal Reserve Board this last week pumped in billions of dollars to shore up the system. The entire world is tied together with the stock markets and the financial markets. And you know what? They've been trying a long time to raise the interest rates. In 1 week, they made a decision. They had to cut. And they cut instead of 0.25%, they cut 0.5%, and it still is just shivering like this. Someone says, well, we are a rich nation. We are, but we have borrowed. I want you to understand this. You know, we borrow on equity on our homes. We borrow money to buy houses and so on. Who do you think is putting that money in? It comes from China. It comes from Saudi Arabia. There are people outside the United States that are investing here and put their money into savings. The feds know this, that if the government of China and other places get itchy feet and they pull their money out, we will have a crash worse than we had 1929 when we had the Big Depression. We have borrowed ourselves into a debt as a nation that is unbelievable, absolutely unbelievable. And we bought this, we bought this, we bought that, and now payday is coming. I believe that God wants to bless us, but I tell you what, we have a financial hurricane coming. We got difficulties with weather. We got unemployment, and God is simply saying this, will you as a nation turn to God? Let me speak to you folks living in different countries. You must ask, well, is God going to judge the United States? Yes, but also your nation. Because if our economy goes down, we will drag everyone down on this entire planet. This happened in 1929, and it could happen now. This is why we need to pray like we never have prayed before. Why do you think they suddenly lowered the gasoline prices? Let me tell you why. There never was a shortage of gasoline. But they are doing it right now because the people in power, the world government knows that if they siphon out any more money out of our economy, it might not be able to sustain it. And in order for them to live comfortable, they got to have us working. So praise God for that. But that's why our prices are down right now, because we are teetering on a financial collapse. So we need to pray for that. Let's stand and pray right now. Our Heavenly Father, I come to you right now, and I say, Lord, forgive us as a nation. Father, forgive us of having been selfish. We have borrowed. We have done all kind of things, Lord. Have you bought our boats and cars and furniture and things? Maybe sometimes we didn't need them, Lord. Have you lived like there was no end of tomorrow? Have you recognized right now, Lord, we might have a tremendous hurricane in Texas, Father, or it might hit Mexico? Have you got people that are flooded out right now? People that have no homes, that are homeless right now because their homes were destroyed. Not only Minnesota, Father, God of Wisconsin, but also in China, India, Bangladesh, and in many other places in this world. And Father, we ask you this. Give us a gift of repentance. Pour your Holy Spirit out upon all nations, Father God, that we will be able to repent and turn, that you will hold back the judgments and give us some more time before the Antichrist comes to preach the word and to fill heaven and not have everybody go to hell the way they're doing right now. Open the scriptures to us today, Lord, and give us insight how to live, how to pray, and what to do. And this I ask in Jesus' name. And those who agreed said, amen. You may be seated. I want to start today, scripture-wise, in 1 Corinthians, chapter 15. Some of you have been around here a long time. This is old stuff. But we're going to lay a foundation. That's 1 Corinthians, chapter 15. We're going to pick it up in verse 45. And I read from my outline now. There are three places we can exist right now in this universe: earth, hell, and heaven. If you're on earth, You will either exit to heaven or exit to hell. A physical body required for us to stay on the planet Earth. And once we lose it, we cannot stay any longer on Earth. The Bible says we're made up of three different parts that are physical and spiritual. The physical body, the soul, and the spirit. Let me read to you right now from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 45. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not the first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthly. The second man is a Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also the earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also the heavenly. As we have borne the image of the earthy, we should also bear the image of heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither does corruption inherit incorruption. The human body is a vehicle. This is something that a lot of people have hard to understand. The human body will never go to heaven. This body that I'm in right now, my vehicle, was designed by God, given to me at conception, and it's mine to maintain, to put the right fuel in, the right liquids in, to exercise it. God is the one that gave me life, but I cannot go out and buy myself another vehicle. I get one. When this is worn out, I'm out of the planet. The devil knows that, and that's the reason why he's attacking. He's attacking the human bodies in the following way. In some areas, people are starving to death. In America, we are getting fat to death. We are stuffing, doing all kind of things. And people are dropping, but they are between 40, 45, 50, 55. They lose their bodies, and the devil says, wonderful, get out of the way. Leave this planet. I don't want you here. Now, we take good care of our automobiles. We take care of our dishwashers. Your microwaves, you take care of your furniture, but for some reason, the finest piece of machinery we have, the body, we simply do not care that much for it. It is time for us to begin to say, I'm going to do some great maintenance on my vehicle. Service it every 3,000 miles, like you do with your car. And it would last you a long time. In Genesis chapter 2, verse number 7, we read this. Genesis 2, 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. This body of mine, this body of yours, when it's all over, it's going to be dropped. It's going to be put to the ground. You might be cremated, whatever the situation is. But you ain't taking with you to heaven. So, remember this. This is a temporary vehicle God has given us. Let's read on the outline. The physical body is a vehicle for the soul and spirit of man. Just like a car does not have any personality until the driver takes control and moves it down the road, so the physical body in itself does not have any personality. If you don't believe that, put a camera in your room and simply let it run during the night. And I will guarantee you this, unless you really are a snorer, you snore a lot, your body will have no personality. It will simply lay there in that bed, and you are out, and the body is recuperating for the next day, is recharging. It has no personality. It will not sing. It will not do anything of that nature. You might be wiggling as you dream things. But your body has no personality. It's what's the inside that gives it the personality. If we look upon these cars down here in the parking lot today, we can simply say this. These are cars, some are nice looking, some are nice looking, some are not so nice looking. But what kind of personality do they have? They have no personality. There's no movement out there. There's no rumbling. They are quiet. They have nothing. They're just dead. After the service is over, we get down to the parking lot. We start our engines up. Your car will take on what? Your personality. If you're a nice driver, it's going to be a nice car. If you're a nasty driver, it's going to be a nasty car. That's how it is with our bodies. The brain of a human being is the most sophisticated computer God has created in the physical world. But it has no personality in itself. Just like a computer made by man has no personality until it has been loaded with programs designed by human beings. Turn to Romans chapter 12. Now, do you understand that when you were conceived and the brain was being built, your brain had no personality whatsoever? It was just a nice, empty computer. And it was filled with a program which we're going to talk about later in the sermon here. Here's what Paul said in Romans 12:1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. That's a vehicle now. Holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Let me ask you this question. Sometimes you pick up someone to ride with you, a guest. And sometimes you've been riding with somebody else's car. How do you feel when you step into somebody else's car, you open a door, and you see French fries on the floor, soda pops, paper, leftover hamburgers, all kind of things, and you kind of got to scrape the seat, you know, just to sit down, hope you don't get grease on your pants or your dress, and you sit down in a smutty car. Would you feel comfortable and say, you know, this is a wonderful, trashy car? You would simply say, man, I want to get out of here as soon as I can. And then, you know, you put your hand on a something, you know, and that's a chewing gum, you know. You try to get that out of your hand, you know. Trash it. Now, who lives inside of us together with us, you that are saved? Who lives in here? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They are riding. Jesus said, He and the Father will come down and make their abode in us. Right? So He's living in us. Now here you are now. You're driving in. You park your vehicle in your easy chair. You turn on the sewer channel, you know, and the sewer is spewing out its message. I'm talking about the television. And your body is getting filthy. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit sitting in there, and you know, they just got on top on them. How do you think they feel? You know what they're going to do? They're going to take a break. That's why when you are sinning, or when you have things that are going to happen, the Holy Spirit lifts. And just go on the side. We have not understood how filthy we can be on the inside. Dirty jokes, cuss words, filthy language, strengthening attainment. It makes our body like sewage. And then we wonder, why is not God pleased with us? Listen again what he says in Romans 12:1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Remember, you men, you ladies, years ago, some of you are younger right now, but you're going to meet someone, you're going to date someone, or go out for dinner. And what did you do? If you have been working out, you were sweaty and dirty, stuff like this, you just simply didn't say, okay, I'm going to go out and take this lady for dinner, you know, and you're not shaved, you're sweaty, you stink, you don't smell very good, and says, hi, honey, let's go for dinner, give me a hug. And she says, no, I'm not going to give you a hug, you smell too bad. What do we do when we got? We take a shower. We put stuff under our armpits. We put stuff here. We fix our hair up. We brush our teeth. We get some mints in our pockets. We use some mouthwash, clean it out. We want to smell good, look good, sound good. And then we go out and say, okay, let's go and have some nice things. And she's done the same thing. Shouldn't we treat the Holy Spirit the same way? To make sure that we can present him a living sacrifice. And then verse number 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is a good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We need to transform our brains, where they go, where they should go. Let's think about a soul now. The soul is made of spiritual matter and belongs in the spirit world. Once a soul is created at conception, it will exist forever. When the human body breaks down and dies, the soul has only two places where it can be escorted by God's holy angels, hell or heaven. Turn to Luke chapter 16. The Gospel of Luke. And we turn to the 16th chapter. This is the favorite of the backsliders. Luke 16. And you pick it up in verse 19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and he fared sumptuously every day. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which had laid his gate full of sores, and desired to be fed by the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angel to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. And he sees Abram afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that you in your lifetime received your good things, and likewise Lazarus' evil things. But now he is comforted and you are tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can I pass to us, that will come from thence. The rich man did not go to hell because he was rich, and the poor man didn't go to hell because he was poor. It was choices that made. If you are saved, you will go to heaven. If you are not saved, you will go to hell. This last week, a famous Swedish, is a filmmaker, Ingmar Bergman, died. 89 years old. And they made a big hoopla over that in Sweden. We looked at some of the newspapers. And this man has made probably quite a few films famous. He has, if I counted right, is approximately 11 or 12 children, maybe a little bit less, maybe 8 or 9, with different women. He never met an actress that he didn't bed down before she shot the picture for him. He's been married at least 7 or 8 times. And even in the papers they said he was a demon. Now, this is what he said in his last days. He said this: I want to die, because his last wife had died. He said, I want to go and join her. And he went to live in a little lonely place on an island outside. It's in Sweden, but it's a Swedish island in the Baltic Sea. And he became a hermit. And he cut everyone off, just like Harold Hughes cut everybody off. And there he stayed the last 2-3 years of his life, a recluse, living alone. And there he died without Christ. He had money, he had fame, he had everything this world had to offer. And the moment his body died, there were angels there picking him up, shackling him, just like the cops do here when you are arrested, and saying, we're going to go to your place right now. I don't think he believed in God. His father was a Lutheran, state Lutheran priest in Sweden, but I believe he lost his faith in God. He didn't believe in God. He lived like hell, partied like hell. And can you imagine the shock? He's not going to join his last wife. He's going to be taken to hell, where he's going to be shackled down to a certain position. And then they would have the flames turned on him. And the flames are coming up and burning very, very hard. And then they die down. And then they come up again. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 52 weeks a year. And his conscience, he's not destroyed. He has a memory. He remembers his entire lifetime. And then he sees into heaven. He sees people in heaven. And the flames come and burn him again. And then he sees the lake of fire. And he realizes, this is bad. The lake of fire is worse. I am doomed forever. That's hell. The soul can only go to two places, either heaven or hell. You heard some people say, well, all my friends are going to be in hell, so we're going to party down there. Forget that. But listen to what this man said that was in hell. He was concerned. Then he said, I pray you therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house. For I have 5 brethren that he might testify to them, lest they also come into this place of torment. People in hell are praying. You know, Joseph Smith, the founder of the Mormon Church, he's praying down there like he's praying up a storm. He's saying, God, destroy what I built. Don't let anyone else join my church. Because everyone that joins his church is going to be made more pain for him. You will find Muhammad down there praying, oh God, destroy Islam. Destroy it. Don't let anyone else come into it. And people are praying down there, oh God, don't let my wife come here. Don't let my husband come. Oh God, save my children. I know I'm lost, but don't let my children come here. Screaming, crying, praying in hell. The soul is really the person you and I see as express itself through the body. It has a capacity to think and reason, store data. express emotions, and the ability to love and to hate. When a soul is created, it is soiled with the Adamic sin. The soul will learn to speak and understand language of the parents and accept the value system of parents and society into which it is born. As a result, the soul is molded by the various people it contacts as a body grow up. Let's turn to Jeremiah chapter 17. It's the book of Jeremiah. You know, you see that cute little baby. We all were cute babies one time. But what happened to us? We either accepted Christ and got molded in Christ's image, or we became worse sinners and terrible people. In Jeremiah 17, verse number 9, this is what the prophet said. The heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search your heart, I try the reins, even to give your man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. You and I got to understand this, that in ourselves lives nothing good. Our soul is not good in itself. It is fallen. It is soiled with sin. And when we get saved, our soul is redeemed. But the goodness, the grace, the mercy that we have, that is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. He gives us a new personality. And this is why our love is conditional. You see, you and I do not have the capacity. It takes a lifetime to begin to get the capacity to love unconditional. We get excited about people when they are nice to us. But when they stab us in the back, they lie, they cheat, they do things about us, we got angry. And we say, I don't love you anymore. Because we don't have the capacity. Only God can give that to us. Proverbs chapter 23. You know, the sad thing is they had a huge earthquake in Peru this last week. And they rushed in aid. And this shows the human nature. As the trucks were rolling in with the Red Cross people and all others, and they came in with supplies, you know what the people did that had been in the earthquake? They turned into a mob. They descended upon the trucks. They beat the glass. They destroyed the glass. They dragged the drivers out. They kicked them out. They looted and stole. Instead of thanking and being thankful and standing and receiving, they stole and they hit those people that were bringing in supplies. That's human nature. Have you ever been in a crowded place where there's a fire alarm going off? And if you haven't seen anything uncivilized, you will see it to that day. Every man on his own, they're going to rush. This is why people stomp on each other when they are in a stadium or whatever it is. And there's something happening. Everybody tried to get out. They don't care. I want to get out. I'm stepping on somebody. So what? That's the human nature. We need Jesus more than anything else. Proverbs 23, verse number 7. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. As a man thinks, so he is. Eat and drink, says he to you, but his heart is not with you. Let's read the verse before. Eat not the bread of him that has an evil eye, neither desire you his dainty meats. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, says he to you, but his heart is not with you. And then we turn to Hebrews chapter 4. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing into dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Let me read from the outline now. The soul is connected to the physical body and is wired to the brain with sense in the body that can bring pleasure or pain. You can either have pleasure or you can have pain. The five senses are sight, touch, smell, taste, and hearing. Let's think about that right now. Here we are now, sitting here in this place with our vehicles. We have sensors. The body cannot really appreciate anything. If you touch something nice and soft, the touch is not really here with your feet on a finger, but the touch is in your mind. That's what it is. And the mind transfers that to your soul. And when you touch something soft and nice, the soul feels that and the soul is gratified. If you touch something that is pain, it is going to your soul, and your soul has pain. Five senses. Romans chapter 6:11. As I'm coming into this here, and I'm trying to put this together. Turn to Romans chapter 6 and verse 11. Likewise, reckon you also yourself to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ the Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield to your members as instrument of righteousness unto sin, but yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instrument of right unto God. For sin shall have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Satan and his fallen angels are limited when it comes to seducing and controlling a human soul. They can only move through the five senses, but they cannot attack the soul head on. Here is how the demons work. They get into the physical body, and then they attach themselves to the brain. And through the five senses, they are stealing your body, using your body, your senses, your brain, to stimulate their own wishes. A demon does not have a physical body. A demon cannot have sex, per se. But he likes to have sex. And demons particularly like to have sex with men, because they were made in the image of God, and it's a little difference there. So the demon simply says, well, I cannot have sex with a man, or I cannot have sex with a woman, so I need to possess a body and use that body to do my bidding, and through the senses and the computer, that demon will get his satisfaction. The same thing with drugs. The demonic forces, they like that feeling of high. They like that feeling of high, but they cannot take drugs because they are spirits. So they simply say, I'm going to get a body that I can subdue, that I can make a slave to this particular drug, and then I will get my satisfaction. Nicotine is a worship demon. The nicotine demon simply tells a person, when I'm ready, you are going to worship me, and if you don't worship me, I'm going to turn up the heat, and I'm going to make it so uncomfortable that you're going to grab that cigarette and stick it in and go, ooh. The demon says, thank you very much. I'll be back in 5 minutes for more. If we understand that, we can begin to protect our bodies. Let me read this again if you understand this. Satan and his fallen angels are limited when it comes to seducing and controlling a human soul. They can only move through the five senses, but not attack the soul head on. In other words, before they can make you sin in your thoughts. They might be a man, it might be a woman. You begin to lust after that person. It's a demon enticing you. If you cut it off, that demon cannot access you. But if you press on and allow that demon to have access to you, you become trapped. I wrote this. Therefore, the soul can shield itself by refusing the signals coming in from the five senses, just like people are shielding themselves from spam on their computers. I did not believe this until I got on the internet. After a while, I got spam. I mean, every day when I open my computer, they offer me Viagra, Cialis, this and that. I mean, I got 35, 40, 50 different messages saying, you know, they call them different names. Are we supposed to have a shield that will knock them off, you know, block this, block that, but somehow they get through? And every day I have to, when I open up the computer, I have to highlight one and then go, delete. Get them out of the way. And this is what we got to do with our souls. Every day we will be bombarded, and you got to use our delete button and simply say, no access to my soul. Proverbs chapter 7. Proverbs, the 7th chapter. Let's read a little bit in this particular chapter. My son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with you. Keep my commandments and live in my laws, the apple of your eye. Bind them upon your fingers, write them upon the table of your heart. Say at the wisdom of you are my sister, and call on the stand of your kinswoman, that they may keep you from the strange woman. For the stranger is flattered with her words. For at the window of my house I looked through my casement, and I beheld among the simple ones, I discern among the youth a young man void of understanding, passing through the street near a corner, and he went away to a house. In the twilight, in the evening, in a black and dark night, and behold, I met him a woman with the attire of a harlot and subtle of heart. She's loud and stubborn, her feet about in the house. Now is she without, now in the streets, and lies in wait of every corner. So she called him and kissed him, and with an imputed face unto him, I have peace offering with me. This day I paid my vows. Therefore came I forth to meet you, diligently to seek your face, and I found you. And I decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, with card work, with fine linen of Egypt. I perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love unto the morning, that our souls are set with loves. For the good man is not at home, he's gone a long journey. He's taken a bag of money with him, and will come home at the day appointed. With a much fair speech he caused him to yield, with a flattering lips she forced him. He goes after her straightway as an ox goes to the slaughter, as a fool to the correction of the stocks. Till the dog strikes through his liver, as a bird hasteth to the snare, and knoweth not that it is for his life. Hearken to me now, therefore, O ye children, and the tender words of my mouth. Let not your heart decline to her ways, go not astray in her path. For she has cast down many wounded, yet many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is a way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. That was written 3,000 years ago. We got a casino here in this area, Thunder Valley. It didn't exist about 4 or 5 years ago. And I prayed against it. We fought against to have it built. And Thunder Valley, if you go by there now, parking lot is filled with cars. There are probably 15, 20,000 people per day, if not more, going there. And they advertise good food, good entertainment, good this and good that. But it's a house that leads to hell. About a year and a half ago, young woman in her 30s, troubled woman, had an alcoholic problem, went there to spend the night. She did not know that there was a predator coming that night. A man that was a rapist and a murderer. And this man lived up in the Loomis, Auburn area. Had a family. And he came down that night to find a woman that he could seduce. The lady was demonized. This man was demonized. They drank, they gambled, they argued, they touched each other, and then they walked out hand in hand, and the last was a camera caught them going into, and they disappeared in the parking lot. She's never surfaced again. The next day when he showed up at a job, he had a cloth on his face and he was bruised. And later on, they found part of her hair and some other things. She'd fought in that car wildly when she realized, I am going to get killed right here. That man was sentenced, I believe, to death. Can't remember exactly now what he was sentenced for, but he's gone. Here's a man now sitting and waiting for his life to end. They never found a woman. She's probably trashed someplace in the area here, rotting. And they never thought, the murderer and the victim, that they both would become victims. And this is how the devil does. Advertisement, beauty, fun, happiness, when it is destruction. Turn me to James chapter 1. The book of James. If you want to thank God today for our salvation, really praise Him for that. James chapter 1, verse number 13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I'm tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempts He any man. But every man is tempted, is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust has conceived, he bring forth sin. And sin, when it's finished, bring forth death. I know that my eyes will take in things and bring pleasure to my soul. Therefore I know this, that I want to shield my eyes from ungodly views. I don't need a watch. My ears will bring pleasure to my soul. And I'm going to shield my ears from ungodly music and ungodly speaking. My nose will bring pleasure and taste to my soul. But I am not going to go and smell the perfume or things that are on women that are not my wife. I'm not going to go to women and smell that, because I know that that will open a door for demons. I'm not going to taste the alcohol. I'm not going to taste the stuff. And I'm not going to touch anything that is going to open up things for the devil. How do you protect your car? Well, in the old days, we had the club. Chains, locks, combination locks. Now we got electronic alarms. You simply want to protect your vehicle. That's how we should protect ourselves. Saying this, I'm going to guard my eyes, my ears, my nose, my taste, my touch. I am not going to let the devil come to touch any of my sensors. I'm going to protect them. That's how you begin to shield yourself from demonic influence. Now turn to Ephesians chapter 2. And like I said, I'm just laying a foundation here today. Ephesians, the second chapter. And we pick it up in verse number 1. And I want to read this to you from my outline first. The bad news is that from the moment of conception, each human being automatically becomes a citizen of the kingdom of Satan. They remain so for the rest of their life unless they are presented with the gospel, repent of their sins, and cry out to God to save them in the name of Jesus. I read up from Ephesians 2:1. And you has he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit of our works and the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. Has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith. That of yourself is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Our soul is saved and redeemed by grace. Let's take briefly now look upon the Spirit. This is a component that was destroyed when Adam and Eve fell in sin. At the moment of salvation, this component is made alive, whereas Jesus stated it is born again. It's important to distinguish what happens between soul and spirit at the time of salvation. The soul is redeemed, but the dead spirit is made alive. The Gospel of John, chapter 3. The Gospel of John, the third chapter. And you pick it up in verse number 3. John 3:3. Jesus answered, said to him, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time in his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not, I said to you, you must be born again." Let me say something that might trouble you. The spirit that is born in us is not the Holy Spirit, but it's our spirit. The component of the spirit is sinless. You never sin with your spirit, you sin with your soul. This is why the Bible talks about that there is a battle between the flesh and the spirit, and the flesh in this way is the soul. If you read your Bible, you pray, and you feed your spirit will become stronger than the soul, and you will have a greater likeness to Christ. When someone receives Christ, there's no growth, no fading. You got someone that is warped. There is no power there. The more you feed your spirit and the more you starve your soul, the stronger you get in the Holy Spirit. Now turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. You might have to chew on this a little bit later. But that's all right. Maybe this afternoon, instead of turning on the television, you would turn and say, I'm going to study this out. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Have you picked it up in verse number 9? It's 1 Corinthians 2, 9. But as is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered the heart of the man, the things which God has prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the thing of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received, not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. With things also we speak, not to the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. How many of us at times, you read a scripture, you've read it many times, and suddenly stands out. Wow! You get that understanding. You say, that's what it means. That is when your spirit is able to move in, push the soul aside, get control of the computer, and insert that truth into your soul. That's when you get what they call a rhema, a revelation. Wow! That's how it works. The soul does not communicate with God. It's a spirit. When we pray with a spirit. And the spirit moves then to the soul and takes the soul and gives it power to become more Christ-like. Let me read one more verse. Verse 16. For who has known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Emotions are controlled by the soul. The spirit is not emotional. It's rational, on target. It's in contact with God. The devil simply tries to bypass and push the spirit on the side and hit your emotions. And when you get emotional, there is no more intelligence. Emotions have no intelligence. And once you get emotional, you lose control. The spirit in you cannot access your soul. And you run around for a while screaming and hollering and so on. You calm down and God can corral you again. Let me take you now to the Gospel of John chapter 4. This is going to be a main point I'm going to make here this morning. The Gospel of John chapter 4. If you pick it up in verse 21. You read this many times. Jesus said unto her, woman, believe me, the hour comes when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour comes, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeks such to worship Him. God is a spirit. And that they worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. We call it the worship service. We sing our songs. I think, I'm just going to share that with you, take it what it's worth. I think that probably this morning, we might have had maybe 90% non-worship, 10% real worship. The soul cannot worship. And when we come into a service, we come in burdened down from yesterday. What are we going to do next week? Dealing with sickness, dealing with finances, who is in the church, what are they doing? We get distracted and we move around. To worship in spirit is to be lost when we simply transcend beyond the physical world and move in spirit and we say, I'm not going to worry about last week. I'm not thinking about anything else. We look upon the overhead. We focus on that. And we say, my Heavenly Father, Jesus, Holy Spirit, I am singing to You. I want to sing to You. And that is something that very few of us have the capacity to. Because we have so many problems, so much baggage. In a prayer room today, and I want to use it as an illustration. We were praying in there, and Sister Joanne came in a little bit later, and said, I'm really praying. And I knew she was coming in. I could hear her pray. And my mind was on a couple of other things. I wanted to deal with this and that before I went out for the prayer meeting. So I simply took one look. I looked at Joanne, and my eyes just kept going to the next person. And I started to talk to that person. And then I started walking out and heard Joanne saying, good morning. And I kept going. I said, wait a minute. She probably said that to me. So I turned around. And I said, good morning, Joanne. And she looked at me and she said, good morning. And I realized then that I had seen her, but I did not acknowledge her because my mind was some other place. And this is what I believe we do when we worship. Our mind goes here and there. And we need to focus it in and say, Father God, hold my spirit still. Still my soul. That I will be able to focus on You, Lord. And to give You my love, my adoration, my worship. That's what we are here for. Let me read it again of what Jesus said. God is a spirit. And then that worship must worship in spirit and truth. How many times have you had a sweet prayer time? You shut the phone off, you read the Bible, and you got blessed and you begin to praise Him. And suddenly you're flooded, you're just sitting there. And you feel the Holy Ghost going in and out of you. And you're lost. You're worshiping Him. That is worship. And that's what we need to do. Corporate. Next point. It is with the Spirit that a saint person communicates with God and gives the saint person a new personality. The goal for a born-again Christian is to have his spirit rule over the soul and body. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 16. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yea, now henceforth know him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is, what? A new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. This means that the soul is relegated to the side and the spirit rules. If the spirit rules the soul, we got a good personality, and then the body will line up. This should be the goal of the believing Christ. Let me just do the summary here now very quickly. God is a spirit and lives in a different dimension from the physical world. The spirit world is just as real as the physical world. The physical world was created by God as a temporary dwelling place for the human race, where the legal issues between God and Satan are hammered out. Flesh to flesh is solid. Flesh to flesh is solid. God, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, and the angels have spiritual bodies. Spirit to spirit is solid, but the physical body cannot enter into the spirit world. A spirit body can move through our physical bodies. I'll let you read 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 47 through 53 yourself. And I want you now to turn to me closing scripture to Revelation chapter 21. That's Revelation, the 21st chapter. And I want you to really pay attention to this now. The new creation will not be a physical world, but a spiritual one with no limitations. The new creation is not going to be in the same dimension we are now. It's not going to be physical. It's going to be a spiritual world. But a spiritual world is as solid as the physical world, just in a different dimension. When God made the physical world, it was a step down in glory, where the new creation would be the full glory. It's exciting when you understand that. God will be able to operate in His full glory and use a technology that man can only dream of. Let me read Revelation 21, the first 8 verses. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. I always wondered, God, can't you have some water in the next place? And then I realize it's not going to be a physical, it's going to be a spirit dimension. We don't need water. This could be a river. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven say, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them, and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things have passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said to me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcomes shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful, unbelieving, and abominable, murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and adulterers, and all liars, shall have the part of the lake which burns with fire, and brimstone, which is the second death. The new Jerusalem, we're going to move into a new dimension where our spirits and our souls are going to be able to function in a dimension that we today can only dream of. Heaven forever. Let's stand for prayer. My Heavenly Father, I want to thank and praise you right now that you're teaching me on a day-to-day basis. Father God, what I preach today, I could not have preached 25 years ago because I didn't understand it. And I pray today, Father God, that men and women, boys and girls, will understand the spirit world, the five senses of our bodies, that each one of us will be able to protect ourselves, to protect our bodies as well as we protect our homes and vehicles and cars. So, Father God, we can live a victorious life, a joyous life, an abundant life in the midst of a fallen world, in the midst of turmoil, depression, whatever is going around. You will give us a table. In the midst of our enemies, there will be a feast. And Father, our step back now is between you and the people. Holy Spirit, minister today to the people that are here, that are around the world, and meet them. Fill them with your love and your goodness and your grace. Heal their bodies. And help them, Lord, to worship you in spirit and in truth. And this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. The altars are open. The elders will be here. If you want prayer, they will pray and anoint you with oil. If you want to go and kneel at these chairs over here, my right, your left, those are our altars there. If you go over there, no one will disturb you. No one will talk to you. If you just want to talk to Jesus all by yourself. If you want someone to pray with you. Maybe you have a sickness. Maybe you need to be stronger, whatever it is. Maybe you want to rededicate your life. You come as God's been speaking to you.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth. And your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are, you've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person, doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you three questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything, even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, How did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all three questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these three questions are but three of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7 through 8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are three places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of two places, heaven or hell. God did not send His Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." You see, God offers His love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward Him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, He will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, He will do for you. If you call out to Him, He will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All He wants for you is to come to Him. He will help anybody who calls out to Him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, He will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to Him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that you would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now and I put my faith in you. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that you paid for my sins on the cross through your shed blood, and that you died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank you for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with you. Help me to be obedient and to walk with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Been listening to Pastor John S. Terrell of Resurrection Life of Jesus Church in Sacramento, California. This message was the first part in the series Taking Control of Your Life and was entitled Man is Triune. Part 1 of this new series explained how man is triune, made in the image of God, and addressed the need for Christians to know their makeup. Pastor John laid the foundation for how evil spirits will cleverly massage the body's five senses, which will end up triggering your emotions until your soul gives the demons permission to enter the body. It is important to remember that emotions have no intelligence, so don't let them rule you. If you can control the five senses and guard these entrance points, you can destroy the works of the devil in your life. That is the point of this series, Taking Control of Your Life. This message is available on CD and cassette, and when ordering, ask for sermon number 1095. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can learn more about Pastor Terrell's ministry, read insightful articles, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the toll-free number is 1-888-708-3232. That's 1-888-708-3232. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.